listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, good morning, good day, no matter where you're at on the planet. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you here. And I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how to deal with difficult people. And I know this is probably a rare thing for most people, but we're going to give you some tips. And I'm just kidding. There can be difficult behaviors, of course. And so we're going to get into that. You're welcome to ask questions in the chat room, or you can call in on the line. Michael Kelly is screening calls. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening. As always, we always welcome any kind of questions or comments that you might have, and we do encourage you to call in at 714-459-3973.
Great. And so you can... what were we talking about last week? You call in because then you get to talk with Michael. Is that what it was?
Yeah, because
something
I'm a pleasure
like
to talk to.
Oh, that was it. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. So there you have it. Call in because he's a pleasure to talk to. All right.
And you get to talk to Dr. Kelly and Dr. Hunter.
Well, but that's still not quite the thrill it is to talk with Paul Strainer. All right. So.
It's fine.
We'll go through our usual profession of beliefs, let everybody know what the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism stands for. Our spiritual philosophy is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of the human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as the International Society, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so the way that the program's going to work tonight, we're going to kind of do it in a couple of sections, and I'll let everyone know kind of up front that our program will probably not last much more than 30 minutes tonight. Dr. Hunter is a bit under the weather and...
I'm sick.
And I'm under the weather sympathetically. I have a sympathetic cold.
Yeah, it's just a cold, bad cold.
So we're going to do a couple of different things. I'm going to talk about some of my techniques for dealing with difficult people, and then Dr. Hunter is going to kind of come in with more of an intuitive, instinctual approach with some of her methodologies. And none of these involve slappings, you know, smacking, killing, beating, you know, none of that stuff.
Yep.
All right, so I'm just going to go through, and again, if you've got questions, feel free to ask them in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can do that.
If somebody has a difficult situation that they'd like to ask about or share with us, and we can chime in.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right, so let's talk about dealing with difficult people. Obviously, people's behavior can be difficult in a variety of ways. So let's set some fundamentals, some fundamental facts. Number one, most people do not lie awake at night scheming how to disrupt other people's lives or be mean to them.
Oh, I don't know. I had an ex-husband who did that.
Yeah, to you. I said, that's what I said, most people.
I'm kidding.
Most. Not all. Most. Most people just don't do that. Most people are trying to do the best they can with the knowledge, experience, resources, and awareness that they have at the moment. Most of the time when people behave inappropriately, it boils down to a lack of sufficient awareness, higher awareness. They just don't know any better. There's also other factors that can come into play. They don't feel good. They're stressed out. Those types of things can make people behave in ways that they don't normally behave in. So there's a lot of different factors that can come into play that drives difficult behavior. So bear that in mind. There's a couple of other fundamentals that you want to keep in mind anytime you're dealing with this kind of behavior. Number one, don't catch the ball. If you think about this, when somebody tosses a ball to us or anything, it's instinctual to catch it. We just automatically catch it. You ever been on the street and somebody hands you some kind of an advertisement? They just hand it and we automatically just reach out and take it until we've learned not to do that. But in the beginning, it's just instinctive. We catch it. So if you think about difficult behavior as that ball that's being tossed at you, most of the time, it's instinctive, we catch it. And when we catch the ball, we take ownership. And then we often react. Now, there's a difference between responding and reacting. Reacting is an emotional gut instinct. We just fire it right back at them. We don't think before we speak. We react on it. Responding is thinking first and then replying. So think about that ball. Somebody, through their difficult behavior, symbolically, it's just metaphorically, they're tossing you a ball. Don't catch it. Don't take ownership of it. There's a reason why you don't, and the reason is very simple, because you don't have to. Now, what we're talking about here is being assertive. Somebody fires something at you, says a snide remark, does something, you don't have to react. There's some things in life we have to react to. We're crossing the street and a bus is coming at us. We got to get out of the way. Yep, you better react. But most things dealing with people we can respond to. It means we can think first. Just because somebody says something, a snide remark, something mean, does something, does not automatically require us to react or to respond immediately on the spot. Sometimes you do, but usually not. We can take a moment, take a deep breath, and we can respond. That's assertiveness. I mean, if somebody says something to me, I have a choice. I can say something right back. I can think about it and then reply. I can think about it and reply in an hour, or I may choose to never reply. It just depends. So weigh those things. So that's the one thing. Don't catch the ball. Let it bounce off, because even though words can hurt at times, if you know who you are and why you are who you are, and you believe in yourself utterly, you know that stuff just won't stick. It doesn't have to, it's just not true, a lot of the things that might be said. So that's a fundamental rule. Just remember, don't catch the ball. Somebody says something, let it bounce off. And then you can reply with a very basic kind of a universal reply, and it's an assertive reply. So this is what you might say. When you blank, I feel blank. Can I ask you to blank or not to blank? So somebody says something mean to you. When you say hurtful words, I feel bad. Can I ask you to not say those kinds of things again? When you leave me out, it frustrates me. Can I ask you to keep me in the loop in the future? Whatever the blank is, heck, there's all kinds of things you could insert in there. So remember that little formula. When you blank, I feel blank. Can I ask you to blank? Now,
can I ask a question in here? Because usually when that happens and you assertively say back, then they say, oh, you hurt my feelings. Then it's like their feelings now. And I know people have commented this to me a lot, but I've experienced it. Suddenly their feelings become more important than my feelings, even when I assert the feelings.
Well, then let's role play it. So you just told me, yeah, I've hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but that's exactly what you were trying to do to me. So tell you what, make you a deal. I won't hurt your feelings. You don't hurt my feelings. Is it fair?
Fair enough.
Great. So that's what you
do. I like it. I like it.
So you have to put it back. In fact, my two rules for dealing with any difficult behavior are, number one, call them on it. In other words, you have to bring it out into the open at some point. That doesn't mean you react necessarily. You can respond, but you've got to call them on it. Then you put the ball back in their court, so to speak, by asking questions. And you can use that little phrase I gave you, when you blank, I feel blank. Can I ask you to blank or not blank? That's a good way to do it. And if they, usually that will do something. It will usually take care of it. If it doesn't and they keep it going, I'll just talk to you how I want. Say, okay, fair enough, I understand. And then that's your cue that you're not in a relationship with them. You know, remember that as a self-complete person, you can choose who you want to be in a relationship with. You don't have to be in a relationship with everybody or just anybody just because. And even if they're a relative. All right, I'm running out of my time here, so I'm just going to hit a couple of other high points real quick on difficult behaviors. Kind of been talking about people who say things, like I call them snipers. They're passive-aggressive. They make snide remarks. You know what a sniper is. They take pot shots at you from an undisclosed location. So a lot of times people can do that. They can say things that are passive-aggressive. For example, hey, nice dress. It doesn't even make you look fat.
Whoa.
So, you know, you get something like that, you realize they've made a snide remark. So
what do you do with that?
Well, when you say things like that, it hurts my feelings. Could I ask you to not say things like that? Or here's another, a little bit of more of a direct way. Are you saying I'm fat? And then you shut up. Oh, no. I'm saying you don't look fat. Oh, are you saying I look fat in other dresses? No. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call them on it so that they get it. Because what snipers don't like to be, they don't want exposure. So what do? You expose them. You know, if the other person, oh, no, you're so sensitive. You need to lighten up. Well, I'll make you a deal. You could be right. I'll make a deal with you. I'll lighten up if you'll stop making snide remarks. Fair enough. And then you shut up. And this is another important thing. Whenever you ask a question, you need to shut up. You need to stop talking. Let them respond.
Important point.
Extremely important. Because if you keep on going, you've just lost your power. You've lost your edge. The other behavior that I want to talk about is bullies, aggressive people. You must understand that bullies, more often than not, 9 times out of 10, are cowards. They have an almost psychic ability to target a person and to tell who they can bully and get away with it. In fact, a bully, it's almost like the ROI, which stands for return on investment. They will look at a person, size them up, and determine whether they can get away with anything. If the ROI, return on investment, is deemed to be high in the bully's eyes, then they're going to be aggressive with that person. Often, people who are quiet, shy, reserved, don't talk much, that kind of thing, are prime targets for bullies. And so when a bully acts, says things, does things, there's only one way to deal with it, and that is to stand up for yourself. Remember, folks, if it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. So if somebody is aggressive, you've got to stand firm. Bullies do not respect wimps. They will only respect you if they deem you to be strong. Therefore, the ROI, return on investment, goes down for them. They'll move on to an easier target. That's just the nature of bullies. You can't back down. You must stick up for yourself. If you don't, they will continue to do it. It's just that simple.
And, you know, just something else about bullies, in the case of, you know, where people get to be stalkers, it's when they weren't stopped at the bully stage. Because something OCD happens to a lot of people in relationships or the ending of relationships. They want to bully for control. So I just wanted to bring that up. You got to catch it. You got to stand your ground right at the beginning, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't propel itself into a psychosis.
Yep. And, you know, if you've ever had any dealings with bullies, you know it's the only thing that works. And it doesn't, you know, I'm not talking this about the schoolyard bully. I'm talking about the bully at work, the one who says something, who tries to railroad you. Unfortunately, a lot of bullies are bosses, and that brings its own set of issues along with it. But there are things that can be done. You can talk to them. For example, the bully boss says something mean to you, you know, and you got to ask yourself, are they right? Did I mess up here? If so, own it. You're absolutely correct. I made a mistake. I apologize. I will correct it, and I will see that this never happens again. Then you can say one other thing. When you yell at me, I feel demeaned. Can I ask you to not yell at me again in the future? And you shut up. I'll yell at you anytime I want. I'm your boss. I understand. But when you yell at me, it makes me feel demeaned. Can I ask you to not yell at me again? And you shut up. And all the time, you're looking them in the eye. Well, I'll yell at you anytime I want. Fair enough. And then you let it go. And the interesting thing about it, they probably won't yell at you again. Why?
They just had to stand their ground.
Exactly.
Have their way.
Yep. And so they might want to save face, but they won't. They probably won't yell at you again. So,
you know, Nate just asked a really good question in the chat. What makes people be bullies?
Well, there's lots of reasons. Insecurities, control issues, low self-esteem, selfishness. They want it their way. Their way is always better. All those things blend in, and it's just a personality style. It's a choice. Bullying is a choice, just like most everything else.
A posturing, kind
mm-hmm.
of. Yeah.
So, all right, so that's some of my stuff. Now let's switch over to Dr. Hunter with some of her approaches to...
Well, one of the things that... one of the formulas, methodologies I came up with a number of years ago is, you know, we've all heard a very popular one of, you know, okay, acknowledge your emotion, think about it, and then do. So you got to think before you act. Okay, but acknowledge your feelings. So that kind of spins around in a wheel. And it doesn't include the intuitive side, the sensory side, the empathetic side. So, you know, after a great amount of meditation on this, we feel something when we're in interaction, but we also sense something. So what I call pushing the pause button. So if somebody has just made a bad comment to me, I'm going to feel hurt. But now I have to sense where they're coming from. Is it a bad day? Is it a bad mood? So I'm activating an empathy. And it's what I call an auto-sensory perception. Actually, we all have it. Don't have to be psychic. You acknowledge some big psychic force. We all have this ability to read energy to a varying degree. So being able to tune into where are they coming from right now. So you're activating the sensory perception to be able to respond differently. Now, already when you do that, you're thinking. So I'm going to back up here. I feel offended, but I'm going to sense where they're coming from. Who is the one delivering the information? You know, got to consider the source. Are they having a bad day? Because that happens a lot. You know, people are unaware, and they're just kind of, you know, you don't think straight if you're in pain, you know. And I got a list, actually. When people
what is your
think
list?
Well, you know, when you when you're in pain, you have to pee or your hormones are crazy. Truly. That's when it, that I'm serious. Biology rules. And, you know, if you don't feel good, you don't think good. That's simple. So it's you feel something, now you're going to interact, but you have to sense the other individual's energy. Now you're into a thinking process. I see where they're coming from. I'm feeling it. And you're activating that, you know, at least you're observing the energy that's, you know, between you. And you're thinking, how will I best serve this situation? And that's a big one for me. What do I hope to achieve? Before I do anything, what do I hope to achieve? Okay, I'm feeling kind of bummed out here. I'm understanding they're having a bad day. But what's the best way to handle this, and what do I hope to achieve? Now, here's the next the beauty of deciding to do nothing. I am consciously deciding I'm not going to do anything with this situation. I'm taking responsibility to do nothing. However, I have the right to change my mind. And that's evolution. To me, that's where we're growing as human beings. We're giving other people the benefit of the doubt. There's a whole list. Maybe they're just having a bad day. If somebody's having a bad day and, you know, they've gone off at the mouth at me, it'll serve no purpose to sit down and say, hey, are you having a bad day? What's this about? Because we've got emotions now colliding. And so it's just, okay, leave it, push the pause button, say, okay, no problem, walk away, and say, can we talk later? Like, maybe we can talk later. That's generally effective, especially working with family members or friends or associates. In the workplace, we have to keep in mind who's the employer, the manager, the subordinate, and we all have a place. And I know it sounds really cheesy, and it's, you know, it's like here we go with inequality. The bottom line is if I'm there for money, they're paying me money, then I also have to respect that maybe they know something or maybe they're just not really good at their job. But I still have a benefit. So you talk about return on investment, that ROI, I love that. The return on investment here is I'm not going to be victimized, but I am going to find new strategies to deal with this individual. And that's where your sensory perception really benefits you. And if you can, your intuition. Because maybe there's somebody, let's say it's a bad boss, maybe they're on medication. You didn't know. Maybe they need medication.
They're off their meds.
You know, and they're off their meds. There's, you know, so many variables that we can go on and on. But the beauty is that you can assess it and find a place to find a mid-ground, understanding our place in that scheme. Right? So we all have this, you know, interaction. We have to respect the interaction. The worst thing you can do is try to be friends with coworkers. Try to be friends with your boss. You get dual relationships. And even if, and I've had this with many clients, you know, they were really, really good friends with somebody and that friend hired them into a position. And oh boy, I just learned things about my friend. I said, hold it. The minute you went to work for your friend, no longer the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of unfortunate. Very, very few people who can, in a mature way, understand their place in things. You know, Doug, you and I are friends, but you own the company. This is your body of work, and I respect that. So it's for me to understand that place. So, you know, we've had these discussions before, and we're able to have those discussions. And they're upfront, and they're healthy. But a lot of people can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so this is a skill. But when you know yourself and you're comfortable with yourself and you can put that information across in a good way, a positive way, with no, well, you're the boss. That's offensive. You see, that's a really negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, no, I understand. Look, this is yours, and you get the final say, and I completely respect that. two completely different energies. But it goes back to, I felt something, I sense something, I think something, and I'm going to do something. Maybe I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to take responsibility for doing nothing, but I'm free to change my mind. So if you stop and think, you know, about that process, you'll have a way healthier interaction with other people. And not only that, you're really developing your own intuitive and sensory skills. So, you know, I divide the auto-sensory perception is something we all have in that front brain. It can read energy. Intuition, in my view, is what people often refer to as psychic, where there's no logical reason I should know that. But, you know, so then you start, once you activate your sensory perceptions, normal ones, you'd be amazed how many other intuitions you'll start to develop. So if anybody has any questions about that, I'm free, you know, feel free to answer. But that's, in a nutshell, my methodology.
All right, good points. And we're going to be, and unless we get some questions or whatever, we're going to be wrapping the program up here in just a few minutes due to illness and whatnot. But so let's just go back over and do a kind of a quick review. We'll talk for a moment and get no questions, and we're going to go ahead and begin to wrap it. Remember that people obviously are people, and most of them don't lie awake at night scheming how to mess with you or hurt you. People have bad days, they're sick, they're stressed, they have their issues, whatever. There's a variety of reasons why people act the way they do, and it's never consistent. So you can always give the benefit of the doubt until there's a reason not to give the benefit of the doubt. I just shared a huge nugget with you. You know, people have bad days. People do things. They make mistakes. That's just human nature. It's just the way it is. You can always give the benefit of the doubt until there's no longer a reason to give the benefit of the doubt. When somebody does something and you're just not sure whether that was them showing their true colors or whether it was intentional or whether it was just an off day, you can always give the benefit of the doubt. And if they repeat it, then you know. Remember, too, that anytime somebody takes more from a relationship than they give and they're unwilling to change, the relationship is over, regardless of who it's with, whether it's family, boss, company, friendships, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they take more than they give and they're not willing to change, the relationship is over, or it should be. So remember some of these different techniques. I like Dr. Hunter's approach. You can choose to do nothing and take responsibility for that. Not, well, I really should have said something, but I didn't want to. Own it. I'm not going to do anything this time because it's not going to do any good this time. I'll talk to him later, or if it happens again, then I'll reassess the situation at that point. A lot of people don't like confrontations. Tons of people don't like to confront others, and so they're passive. They just take it. Well, you're going to take it as long, and people will continue to dish it out as long as you take it. Remember, aggressive people can look at you, size you up right away, and determine whether they'll get away with anything. If you say something about it, you know, you're too much trouble for them. They're going to move on to somebody else. So remember these things. When you blank, I feel blank, can I ask you to blank? Those are great ways to curb some of this difficult behavior that you might be faced with from time to time. So there's a lot more to this, a lot more to dealing with difficult behavior, especially in the work environment. We teach that in the IMHS degree program. It's actually course M14, rather, on leadership. And I might add that our leadership training is second to none. It's excellent with lots of original stuff in it. In fact, the entire IMHS degree program is pretty original. So if you'd like more information on getting your bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree in metaphysics, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you're interested just in a standalone course or a certification program, visit ichsworld.org. You take similar courses, many of the same courses, but just on a standalone basis there too. And I might also mention in the minute or so we've got left that the new physical location is being prepared in Northport, Florida is coming along. I've actually put a page up on metaphysicalhumanism.org. I don't have it in front of me. I'll see if I can get it in a second, put it in the chat. But here's how you find it. Go to metaphysicalhumanism.org. Look on the left menu bar on the left-hand side. You'll see one of the choices is locations. And when you get to that, you'll see a little thing for Northport, Florida, and that will give you some information about that location. I'm looking at starting services around the 2nd of December, tentatively. I've also put a lot of pictures there of our progress, and I just put a link to that page in the chat for those who are listening live. But take a look. It's come along nicely. It's going to be beautiful. It is beautiful, and we hope that if you're in this area, you'll join us in the flesh when we get going. More information to come soon. Until next week, folks, listen, learn, grow, think, all that stuff, and live.
Yeah.
Just live. Have a good week.
Good night.
Good night.